everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John is engineering and producing the show, and together, a big welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Here we are, Tuesday afternoon, June the 8th, 2021, in our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Today, we resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the talented and dedicated educators at Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Lori Kierstad Joseph. Lori is Assistant Vice Chancellor of PCC's Adult Basic Education for College and Career Division. She serves on the Awareness Committee for State Adult Ed Association and is the Regional Representative and Workforce Development Chair of the National Adult Ed Association. Hey, Lori, how are you?
Hi there. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Tell me a little bit about, when we say adult education, are we talking about a certain age that services kind of become available for those that need them?
Yes, absolutely. So adult ed at Pima Community College, we serve anyone who's 16 years of age or older who needs our services, whether they are basic skills deficient, so maybe they need to learn basic reading, writing, math, or English. Whether they need a high school diploma, we can serve them as long as they're not enrolled in the K-12 system at the same time.
And you offer a wide variety of services. I mean, you're even in the jail, right, offering services?
That's right, yes. We offer GED preparation in our jail. We offer reading, writing, math, social studies, science instruction to help folks prepare for the GED test or a high school equivalency diploma. We offer English language instruction for adults, and we embed things like workforce preparation and digital literacy skills and employability skills all within these classes. We also have a refugee program and a volunteer and student engagement program.
For the refugees, it's a very scary experience in a new country, trying to learn some basic skills, and these are available as they prepare for citizenship as well, correct, Lori?
Yes, that's exactly right. So whether refugee or immigrant students, they can come to us and we will help them prepare for the citizenship test. We have amazing volunteers that help with that, in addition to our awesome teachers in adult ed. We work really closely with the refugee resettlement agencies locally, so most of our local refugees find out about us that way.
Are your services free to the students?
They are, absolutely. We offer free classes for any one of these students, whether they're seeking their high school equivalency or English classes. The classes are free to them, and we run year-round. So while schools are sort of wrapping up in May, we continue through June and pick up again in July. You might not be surprised to know we've been doing remote instruction all year, just like many of our school districts are. So learners can apply now and enroll and study even from the comfort of their own home.
I want to talk about these statistics, and they are staggering about how big this need is. The tens of thousands of adults in Pima County that do not have a high school diploma.
That's right. It's a huge need. There are 70,000 adults in Pima County who don't yet have a high school diploma. There's also another 57,000 in Pima County who report that they are linguistically isolated and could benefit from English classes. And so we know that these are learners who can't take advantage of, maybe a get back to work or an economic recovery that's coming with the end of the pandemic without these basic skills. Right. So we know that, say, 65% of jobs today require at least some college and additional training. And that's just training that isn't accessible if you are lacking basic skills.
Do you have any feel for why we are so deficient in this area, why there is such a huge need in Pima County? Does that have something to do with us being close to the border? Or what are some of your thoughts on that?
Gosh, that's a great question. You know, learners who come to us seeking a high school diploma, they come back at all ages, and they all have a different story about why they didn't finish high school when they were younger. And so it can be hard to pinpoint any one reason why folks need a high school diploma. I do think that we certainly have a large Spanish-speaking population in Tucson and in Arizona in general, and that might be the source for those who need English classes. But I think there's no one story about learners who need a high school diploma.
Who are these people? Give us a little snapshot of the kind of people you're serving.
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's interesting to note that about two-thirds of our students program-wide are women. Nearly 70% report being low income. Although 50% of them are working, most of them are low income, which tells us that they're likely underemployed, many of whom are balancing multiple part-time jobs. About 75% are people of color. So this is an equity. We're really helping lift up the whole community through this work. And then the bulk of folks are 25 to 44 years old. So although we can enroll folks as young as 16, really the bulk of our students are working age. They're out there in the community working, and they just really need a high school diploma or English skills so that they can advance their career to a family-sustaining career.
And even entering a low-wage job workforce, and latest statistics show that there are 175,000 people in low-wage jobs in Tucson, they have to have some kind of adult basic skills, don't they, to even hold one of these jobs?
That's right. Right. That's right. So we really need all of the folks who are trying to hold down a job to have not only basic skills, but especially now digital literacy skills and the employability skills that help them get a job and stay in a job. One of our programs that's really that I'd really like to highlight is working in partnership with others at our college, at Pima Community College, to really help get these adult learners onto a career pathway. It's a program we call IBEST, or Integrated Basic Education and Skills Training. And the idea here is that an adult learner comes to us, even if they come for a high school diploma or English skills, they're almost all here to try and get a better career. And so this program in IBEST allows us to get them started on career training faster.
Do you have some strong results you can share with us, how this program has helped these people?
Sure, absolutely. So because learners can study their basic skills and study at college in a career training program at the same time, we see really strong results. We are finding that 75% of the students in this program are able to complete a career training level 1 certificate in 1 year while also getting their GED or passing the GED test to get their high school equivalency. And we're finding that just over 80% who complete find employment in the first year after exit. So that's really exciting to us. And then now we're seeing that that 60% of the folks who do complete also continue on with their studies at Pima Community College for a second level certificate. So that helps us know that this is the right place to be, that we're helping our folks get on a career pathway.
And Lori, what kind of careers are available through the IBEST program?
Sure. Right now, this coming year, we have coming up an IBEST in medical assisting, one in automated industrial technology, one in logistics and supply chain management, one in building and construction technologies, and then finally one in IT support technicians. So they're in various fields, but these are all fields that have strong local employability and strong wages in the career pathway.
I'm glad we're able to get the word out about this. How can people find out more?
Sure. Anyone who wants to find out more about us can go to pima.edu/adulted to just see a little more about all of our programs, or they could reach out to us. We can be reached by phone at 520-206-7330 or at adulted@pima.edu.
And these are really life-changing events for these people. Those are all pretty darn good careers you cited. And unfortunately, a lot of people haven't heard about this, and so I guess you kind of rely on word of mouth in many cases, correct, Lori?
Absolutely. Actually, our students tell us that nearly more than half of them coming through the door say, I had no idea you were here until my friend or my cousin or my coworker told me about adult ed. We really make sure that most of our budget goes to direct services to students. And so I want to thank you for this opportunity today to talk about what we do. I hope that your listeners are listening and are thinking about who might benefit from our program, and they'll send them our way.
All right. And again, it's pima.edu/adult-ed. Lori, thank you so much. Lori Kierstadt Joseph, Assistant Vice Chancellor at Pima Community College Adult Basic Education for College and Career Division. Thank you, Lori. Good luck, and hope things are going to go very well this summer for you. Thanks.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show now telling you about one of our favorite sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are doing summer hours right now, so basically that means still opening at 6:30 for breakfast, but closing a little bit earlier in the afternoon. And Steve, owner and chief baker, he deserves a day off after how busy things have been up at Mona's. I can attest to that on Sunday. Folks were out on the patio and inside. Things were doing very, very well, which is great news, but Steve deserves and is getting this summer Mondays off. So we're very happy that he's getting the day off. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, that Scandinavian pastry that is light and tasty. It's multi-layered and comes in a lot of great flavors. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. And again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for breakfast and lunch. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman. And Shelley's giving me kind of a thumbs up that goes a little bit here, a little bit there. We'll find out how the markets are doing in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, Buckmaster on a Tuesday. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And we continue with the Buckmaster Return to the Airwaves Week. After 3 weeks away, a very eventful 3 weeks, we'll put it like that. But Shelley Fishman, I want to publicly thank you. You had a couple of great shows.
Thank you, Bill.
James Reel, the show you guys.
What a fun show that turned out to be.
Yeah, you guys do that annual music show. I think we've done it maybe our fifth. Fifth year already.
Right.
Woo! Anyway, hey, we should... Well, we do have it in the archives at buckmastershow.com, all five of them. And the show you did with the mayor, two weeks ago today.
I found it fascinating, a great learning experience on what kinds of responsibilities corporations have to the community and what kinds of responsibilities communities have to corporations in terms of infrastructure and just building the kind of environment that corporations need to thrive. And just seeing the views of a former public administrator an academe, but coming from two different places, but, essentially... I joke that this was kind of an MBA course, a three-credit MBA course pumped into an hour, but I learned a lot, and I hope our audience did as well.
And they are available. Both the shows that Shelley hosted are available on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have a very extensive archive, to say the least, over 10 years of content on that website. Shelley, we're coming up on the mid-year point already of 2021, and as far as the markets are concerned, this has been a darn good... Markets have been on a tear.
You cannot complain about these markets.
No.
These markets are now at near record highs, and by which I mean, from day to day they cross over and then go back down or a tiny bit. These are wonderful times for the market. The market is completely blowing off the pandemic in many ways, suggesting that from a forward-looking perspective, investors are very, very optimistic. We have in both the S&P and the Dow, we have a year's worth of gains in 6 months. And more than that in the NASDAQ.
The labor reports have been mixed.
The labor reports have not been mixed.
Okay.
The labor reports have been a little disappointing based upon what the pundits have been expecting. But to give you an example, and I don't mean to be contrary, but to give you an example,
all
Bill,
in good fun.
last Friday, we had an announcement of over 500,000 jobs created in May. Now, the market, the economists were looking for 750,000. 2 months earlier than that, we had 1 million. The month before, we had a very disappointing 300,000 or so. Let's keep in mind that in normal times, when you get job growth of 200,000, that's what you're aiming for. So What we need to be doing, of course, is recovering from the 2020 pandemic losses. And so it would be better to have, you know, higher numbers than numbers like 550,000. But 550,000 ain't bad.
No, it isn't.
It brought the unemployment rate down below 6% to about 5.8%. But what we have to keep in mind about these kinds of numbers, Bill, is that when you're recovering from an extreme event like the one that we had in 2020, the numbers mean nothing. What's really important is how soon do you get to where you were so that you can begin to kind of grow again. And what these numbers are telling us is that hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be at a break even with where we were in January of 2020. Now, that's a lost year. But you know what? Considering how bad it could have been and how bad it is in many ways in the rest of the world, it is not that terrible unless you're among the 7 or 8 million people who have lost their jobs and not been able to recover those jobs. Then, as the incentives and all of the benefits that in the 2 or 3 COVID relief bills that we've seen pass, once those expire, and most of them are kind of gone in September, and if you haven't found a job yet or been willing to make some changes, then this is not a good year for you, which is why we call this a K-shaped recovery.
Uh-huh.
It's been very good for the top half of the top 30% of American earners. It's been okay in the middle, and at the lower 30%, it's been just dreadful.
The G7 agreement, what's going on with that? The G7, they'll be meeting next week officially over in Europe.
Yes. Well, there has been negotiation going on between the Biden administration and our trading partners in the rest of the world at the highest industrial country level. And we've come to an agreement with the leaders of those countries that corporations, regardless of where they are headquartered or where they do business, will have a 15% tax floor that says that the corporations that are today paying no taxes, and this race to the bottom as corporations will headquarter their operations in the lowest tax venue that they can find, will now have to pay at least a 15% income tax on their earnings. Now, that's the good news. The devil is in the details, and what that means is that for each of these countries in the G7 plus, we've included a few other countries in there as well, to actually make this happen, it has to pass through each of the legislatures as a matter of law, and for that to actually be enacted.
So they can set any kind of amount, but it still has to go back to each of the home countries for the approval.
Absolutely, as it does here.
Yeah.
So when we heard a couple of weeks ago that Biden, in negotiations with the Republicans, had gotten off his 28% new tax rate and down to 15%, what he knew that nobody else knew is that he had reached an agreement where 15% was going to be just fine in terms of producing the revenues that he needs to move ahead with some of the infrastructure plans and other societal benefits that he wants to bring to the economy. That combined with getting the IRS the resources they need to crack down on tax cheats could bring us probably 70 or 80% of the way there toward, you know, a $1.4 trillion
infrastructure
plan. And that's without raising taxes. With the exception of the 15% floor, so that, you know, we have a 21% rate today, but a lot of companies don't pay it. So by getting to 15%, you automatically get rid of some of the loopholes Because that's the floor. That's what it is.
It makes it seem much more doable.
It does. And, of course, the likely subjects are against it, the people who don't want corporations to pay taxes. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying, oh, this is the worst idea, you know, we've ever heard of. But it brings us in, you know, a fairly broad-based way to a greater degree of fairness in how corporations pay their fair share.
All right, Shell, before we let you go again, the markets kind of recovered. We're off to a rocky start, but we're a little bit on the
Yeah, there's some hesitation right now. Yeah. You know, so we're seeing a day up, a day down. The Fed Open Market Committee meets next Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We'd expect a statement from them on Wednesday at around 3 o'clock Eastern time, and that will try to put to rest the concerns over inflation and our ability to control any inflation that is short-lived because it's keyed to some of the stimulus.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much for your report. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Continue your recovery.
Thank you very much. Taking one day at a time. Hey, maybe it's 1 hour at a time. Maybe it's 1 minute at a time, but there's only one way to go, folks, and that's forward. So we will continue to go forward right here on the Buckmaster Show, midpoint in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. has just decided to ease its COVID travel warning to a host of countries, including Japan, where this Summer Olympics are set to take place next month. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says just over 10,000 cases are being reported each day nationwide. That is down 94% since January.
It gives me so much hope to report these declines in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths.
800 people worldwide are under arrest. Criminal gangs divulged plans for moving drug shipments and carrying out killings on a secure messaging system secretly run by the FBI, says CBS's Roxana Saberi.
The global sting led to the seizure of 600 tons of cocaine, 5 tons of marijuana, 2 tons of methamphetamines, and $148 million in currency.
It's another oppressive day for much of the country. The Northeast won't be quite as hot as yesterday, but it feels even hotter because of higher humidity. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and this portion of our program presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. We are in the Green Things and Zocalo Village studios. The 13-acre site is it's a beautiful one filled with just about everything for your garden and all that great merchandise in Zocalo Village. Much of it beautifully handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check it out. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. It's cool inside. Remember those little things that used to be on the movie theaters? I guess I'm dating myself, but it's cool inside. It's Zocalo Village. It's going to be a hot weekend. So drop over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and check out Zocalo Village. Their website for Green Things is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The ward-only primary election for the city of Tucson and the council is scheduled for August the 3rd. The general election takes place the 2nd of November, when the citywide voters will pick representatives of Ward 3, 5, and 6. Steve Kasachek, the current council member of Ward 6, is facing two primary challengers. The first time that Steve Kasachek, who has held that position since 2009, will face an opponent in the Democratic primary, challenging Kasachek for the Democratic nomination, Miranda Schubert and Andres Portela. Schubert, who filed 701 signatures, works as an academic advisor at the University of Arizona and DJs for KXCI Radio, hosting the live feminist talk show Lady Town. And she is with us now on the live line. Hey, Miranda, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Doing well. Why did you decide now is the time to get into politics and challenge Steve K?
That's a great question. I think it comes down to the moment we find ourselves in. We're facing a climate emergency. We keep hearing about the upcoming eviction tsunami. We know that more and more people are out on the streets without a roof over their heads. We know that racism has been declared a public health crisis. So it just feels like action now is needed. Maybe a fresh perspective would be a good thing for the Tucson City Council. And I think I've got the energy and determination to do the job well.
Was there something that Steve Kasachek did specifically that triggered this move, Miranda?
You know, it's an interesting question that you ask. And I think it speaks to the mindset that a lot of people have locally, where I think it's so shocking that the incumbent is being challenged for the first time since 2009 that it feels a little bit like I'm trying to say, you know, maybe he hasn't done a good job or, you know, whatever, maybe he's not a good guy, but that's not at all what I'm saying. I just think, you know, it's a great thing about democracy that we can put our ideas out there and see what people think and that people can weigh in. And, you know, I felt like I heard more and more people saying that they were interested in making some changes and getting some more progressive ideas out there. So I'm kind of putting that to the test by primarying the incumbent.
You were mentioning climate change. What could the council do specifically if you were a member? What would you be pushing for in regard to climate change, Miranda?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, I think that a lot of people are interested in getting more green space, more tree canopy. There's a lot of talk about the urban heat island and extreme heat, which we know impacts people who are poor the most, people without decent housing or who are out on the streets or living in the parks. We know with the recent conversations around Reed Park, for example, with the old growth trees and looking at heat maps of the city and seeing the impact of this green space, we know this is something that people are hungry for getting more investment in. And so I definitely think prioritizing green public space, you know, is one of the first things that comes to mind for me, if we've learned anything at all from the constituents of Ward 6.
With your talk show, what are people telling you? What do they want out of the city council? What are you hearing when you do your talk show? What kind of feedback are you getting?
That's a good question. I miss doing it. I kind of put it on hold when the pandemic hit because it was something I was doing live at Congress. But I did recently have a show on May 24th. I had some folks from a harm reduction group that were talking about ways that we can keep our community safe through education and harm reduction, helping people help each other. I also talked to a youth group, Community Care Tucson, who's feeding the homeless and doing a lot with very little resources. And so these are the kind of folks I find inspiring who are visionary and looking to care for the people that they see around them who need help.
Miranda Schubert is with us. She is a candidate for Ward 6, and that election is coming up pretty fast, actually, just a couple of months away. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. When did you come to Tucson? Where are you from? And on. How about a little of the 30-second elevator speech about Miranda Schubert?
Thanks for that. Yeah, time is flying, and I guess it flies when you're having fun, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned, so I've been in Tucson for 10 years, and the whole time I've been, you know, for my day job, I've been academic advising in higher ed. I was at Pima Community College in different departments for just about 8 years, and I've been at the U of A for 3. I also helped to start, you know, the union at the U of A, which is a wall-to-wall that includes student workers, staff, and faculty, and also we have ASU with us. And so that's been a really great experience for me, just meeting folks from all across the university and working together on common goals. I also did roller derby competitively before the pandemic hit.
Wow.
Another thing I really miss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think I just have so much energy, you know, that I want, you know, city council seems like another great outlet for that.
What position did you skate at in roller derby? Were you one of the blockers? As I recall, I remember watching roller derby on TV as a kid. Isn't there like somebody is like the person that goes out and scores the points? What were you?
Oh, yeah, I was that one. they called them the jammer.
There you go.
I'm really impressed that you know the positions because I feel that I spend half my time correcting people about roller skates versus roller blades, but uh-huh. You even know about blockers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching roller derby as a kid, and it's pretty exciting, fast sport, and highly entertaining. Is that going to start up again after post-pandemic?
It will eventually. It's not going to go away, that's for sure. There's way too much energy for it. You know, the other great thing I like about roller derby is how strategic it is. A teammate of mine likened it to playing chess while having bricks thrown at you. So it's like, because you're navigating a pathway through this pack of people who are trying to get you,
yes.
You know, and so you're thinking like 10 steps ahead on roller skates at high speed.
Well, it's
keeping
also
a cool head and also not being a jerk to the people that you're on a team with.
Yeah.
And yeah,
there's a life. So, there is a life lesson in roller derby, Miranda Schubert.
It's true. You know, people are like, what's the connection? Why are you talking about roller skating? And I'm like, exactly what you're saying, you know.
All right.
And also, you know, it's a nonprofit, volunteer-driven
sure.
outfit, you know.
All right. Before we go, where can people find out more? Do you have a website?
Yeah. We have a website. It's MirandaForWard6.com. All words except the number 6 at the end. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Miranda Forward 6, you know. We're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Twitter. So I just hope people feel free to reach out to us with their concerns. I want to be receptive and accessible.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
It was a delight. Thank you so much.
All right. Miranda Schubert, candidate in Ward 6 in the Democratic primary. It's the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, is next.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This would be a great weekend to go over to Silver City to escape the heat as we now push Into the Unknown, 110 and above, coming up. Oh, my goodness. Not quite ready for that. But again, I'm never ready for over 110 degrees in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm in my 33rd summer here. So one of those things. It's a dry heat until hopefully the monsoon comes. Silver City's only a three-hour drive, and I guarantee the Buckmaster Show guarantee 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City, and we can make that guarantee because it's 6,000 to 7,000 feet elevation, and lots to do. Outdoor stuff, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness for sure. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for more. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our guests appear on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Margaret Regan is our once-a-month guest, talking about the arts in Tucson. And for several months, we didn't have much to talk about, but now that we are entering the post-pandemic era, thank goodness, we do have more to talk about. Margaret is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and prior to that, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. She's been writing about the arts at The Weekly since 1990, and I've known her probably since I came to town in 1988. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. I'm here in my air-conditioned home.
Yeah. There you go.
So I can do okay. But, I've been walking in about 7 o'clock at the local park. It's very pleasant at that hour.
Yeah, still pleasant in the night times, but we'll see as things really start to heat up here. Not particularly looking forward to that with my broken arm. Mm-hmm.
But at least you got to be in the cool weather.
Oh, yes. Right? You know, just took a tumble on the first full day of vacation up in Alaska. And, but it was so beautiful. Resurrection Bay in Seward, Alaska. If you're going to, I guess if you're going to be laid up at the hospital there for a few hours, looking out over Resurrection Bay, the view was beautiful, to say the least.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on at Tucson Museum of Art? They've got a new show coming up?
Yeah, well, it's already opened. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks really interesting. It's one giant show, but it's also four solo shows. And we had four curators choosing four artists. So that's of interest. And I guess the whole, you know, the main floor has all these different artists, and it's really interesting. They're all from minority communities, I guess you can say, and doing really different work with each other. Now, Willie Bonner, I know his work. He's an African-American artist, but he likes to say, I am an artist. You know, you don't have to put that adjective in there. But he's done some wonderful stuff in the biennial and the Tucson. So I've seen them before. A couple years ago, he did a very interesting story sort of using cotton fields as the background. It was almost an abstraction, but it was about slavery, and I found that really interesting. So he's got a whole giant room in there now. And then the other artists I have not heard of before, all quite young people, Alejandro Macias, he says he considers his work is about his Mexican-American identity. And then a young woman who is part Vietnamese and all-American, and her name, I'm not sure how to say it, An C. Nguyen, quite a young woman. And then another young woman, Naza Farin, and she is from the Middle East. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the...
That's okay. Are they still doing, you have to have reservations to go to TMA? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, it's all organized that way. And, you know, it's still a limited number of days that it's open. I believe it's Thursday through Sunday. And you're supposed to, you know, in advance, online, pick a time to go. And they're in two-hour blocks. But once you're inside, you can stay all day if you want to.
Your current story in The Weekly, is that show open to the public still?
Well, yeah, it's online. It's open to the whole world.
There you go.
Yeah, and I wanted to say this is at Raíces Taller, which is our beloved sort of Mexican-American gallery in downtown Tucson, close to downtown Tucson. And I have to say, the show that they did, it's Mujeres, Mujeres, Mujeres. That's women, women, women. They do that every year. It's always a really fun show. And I would say it's one of the best of the virtual shows I've seen. You know, this is all a new thing for the galleries to be mm-hmm. doing. And John Salgado, who runs the place along with his wife, Ceci, he just figured it out. He said, you know, the first months of the pandemic last year, everything was closed. And then he kind of learned how to do a really nice virtual show. So it's very easy to use. You know, you look at it online, has lots of information. And he says it's done so well. What's interesting now that people are doing virtual shows is that people from all around the world can apply to be in the show.
Wow.
So he was very pleased that people came from many different countries. And so we're seeing art that we hadn't seen before. Let's see, besides the United States and Puerto Rico, he says we have artists from India, the Netherlands, Mexico, Canada, Croatia. And so then it also broadens their audience. So he's saying, okay, from now on, they're hoping to reopen the gallery in July, but he's saying from now on, we're going to do both. I mean, why not have a show
sure.
where people in Tucson can go and see it, but also the whole world and getting all different kinds of art that we might not have seen before.
Margaret, before we let you go, what's happening with the Fox? Any? Are there going to be some live shows coming up this fall?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're starting. I don't have it in front of me, but they're starting, I think, in late August. Yeah, they made a big announcement. I did a story a couple weeks ago in the Weekly that tells us everybody, you know, many of the places are opening up. Arizona Theater Company, The Fox, is opening up. And I think I mentioned this Irish band that I really like, Alton.
Oh, yeah.
This is like their third or fourth effort to come here, you know, because right at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, they were here. I think they were actually here in town, and they kind of fled back to Ireland. And so I've been waiting for that show, and they're booked for November now. So, yeah, everything is, it feels like things are really up and running. And, you know, with the vaccines, people won't be so afraid to go into the theater and sit next to other people, I guess.
And the Rialto is going to be opening, too.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of shows already planned, I think starting also around August. I'm not, you know, I don't have that right in front of me. But, yeah, so things look good for the arts for now.
And my friend Kathy Rivers is now over there.
Yeah, isn't that something? What a good choice.
I think so.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She'll be kind of heading things up at the helm, as they say.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, some interesting selections. So things are starting to pick up.
Yeah, and, you know, the Loft opened up. But I'm thinking maybe in the fall people will be more ready to go. I mean, I'm still sort of trying to just stay at outdoor events and I don't know. How about you? Have you gotten into a theater yet?
No, I'm still just trying to get an hour of sleep at night.
Can't go anywhere with that.
No, yeah, it's my life right now is kind of hour to hour with this broken arm and 3 weeks since the fall. And hopefully we'll know maybe some more in a week and maybe begin actual physical therapy so I can start get some movement back in my right
yeah.
arm.
So
and
for
of course,
now, they're just letting it heal.
Yeah, naturally. Just heal, baby, heal naturally.
Oh.
Margaret, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you in July. And by then, maybe my arm will be very far along with the healing.
I look forward to finding out.
All right. Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show, wrapping it up for a Tuesday afternoon. Back with you tomorrow for the Wednesday edition at 12:04. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, John Engineering and Producing, always trying to give you a lot of content during the noon hour. Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money, is coming up next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.